You're listening to the Uplifting Content Podcast with Ione Butler. Join me every Tuesday to hear conversations with remarkable guests on a wide range of topics. The goal with this podcast is to introduce you to new ideas and techniques that will inspire and uplift you. Today, let's talk about being the author of your own life story.
So your gifts, your talents, your heart, your love, your experiences, your past, all of these things are these beautiful things that are contributing to make you who you are right now. And my contention is that if we just stopped and said, so I wonder what I could really, really do. And I can promise you, it doesn't matter what it is you dream up, there's more. There is more.
My guest today, Flip Flippin, is a New York Times bestselling author, serial social entrepreneur, philanthropist, and an international speaker and thought leader. He is the founder of numerous successful companies, including one of the largest educator training companies in North America, and has worked with many of the most prominent leaders in the world. From his early career working with gang kids to his later work in boardrooms and classrooms, Flip has dedicated himself to helping people write a new story. In this episode, we spoke about his career and how he got into training and personal development, his process for writing his books, the difference between your first, second, and third story, his story of not going to Harvard, and how from that he rewrote his life story, and his latest book, which he's offered to give away to one lucky listener of the Uplifting Content Podcast. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. If you haven't already, please subscribe, give us a review. If you think this or any other episodes would resonate with someone you know, please share it with them and give us a shout out on social media, and I promise we'll shout back to say thank you. Lastly, please subscribe to my weekly-ish email update. It's the best way to stay updated with all the latest uplifting content and Ione Butler news. Thanks again for listening and enjoy the show. Flip, thank you for joining me for today's show. How are you?
I'm great. What a treat. I'm really looking forward to being with you, Ione. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for the time. My first question is, where does your fantastic name come from? It's so unusual and brilliant. I've never heard of anyone with your name. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Well, and your name too.
I can give you the story of mine.
I love it. So, yeah. No, you know, it's been my nickname all my life. It comes from my last name, Flippin, you know, so Flip Flippin, but the sad story is I was literally in first grade and the teacher was calling out the roll the first day and she's calling out this name and I don't know who she's talking about. And she walks over and she says, Flip, I think this is you. And I was like, no, ma'am, my name is Flip. And she said, I know, but I think this is your real name. And I started crying. I'd never heard it before. I didn't know what it was. I ended up going to the nurse's office and I had a meltdown. I'm sorry.
Wait, your actual first name is Flip, but you thought that because it was your last name?
No, I have a real name that's different than Flip, my legal name, but I've always been called Flip. And when she called my legal name, I had no idea who she was talking about.
And then you cried about it.
I was horrified. I was not who I thought I was.
You had a whole existential crisis in that moment, right, at school. Who am I?
Exactly.
That's brilliant. Well, it's fantastic because it's very distinctive. It makes you go, who is this person? And having a name like Ione, mine just came from my mum was pregnant with me watching, I think this is the story, watching an old black and white movie with an old blind woman, deaf and blind woman that was called Ione. And she's like, if I have a girl, that's what I'm calling her. So bit of a random story, but when I hated it when I was younger because it was just very unusual and I wanted something normal. And now I really appreciate being unique in that way. So I hope you feel that way.
Oh, I do. I like your name. It's cool.
Thank you. You too. It's fantastic. Good alliteration and everything. It's perfect.
Yeah.
So could you share with our audience a little bit about yourself? Tell us about the work that you do and kind of how you got to where you are today.
Well, that's really a fun story for me. You know, when I got out of graduate school, and I'm a shrink by training, I'm a psychotherapist, but you know, you're safe. I'm totally harmless, believe me.
You can psychoanalyze me if you like. I'm always curious to hear how I can improve.
You know, No, when I got out of graduate school, I'd been doing a bunch of research, and I was planning on going to Africa and heading a project. But I'd been working with some gang kids, and honestly, I just fell in love with them. I love those guys. They were solving all kinds of problems. They were all criminals. There's no question about it. It was very different than the way I had lived my life, I assure you. But it was just a great relationship, and I was so struck by the abilities that they had. But they were being thrown out of school, they were getting in trouble, but these were high potential kids. And so I went to my professors and said I wanted to start a free outpatient clinic. And so I started providing psychological services to those guys and met their families, was in the jails, in and out with them all the time, working with them and their homes, on the streets, and I learned a lot, and I grew that up to a pretty large clinic, and then I built a 500-acre residential treatment center for boys and a boys' ranch that still goes on here in our area. And then after 16 years, the governor called and asked if, we would take our work into public schools. And so today, we're the largest educator training company in North America, and we love that, and we do a bunch of corporate work all over the world and organizations and private equity. We work in professional sports and everything from the Olympics to tons of other sports. And then we have a government services sector. And so we just have a good time. It's a great team.
You have a lot going on. It's wow.
Well, you know, when you're ADD, it's fun because you're totally self-entertaining.
That's fantastic. You've definitely harnessed that and run with it. So good to see you.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I mean, if nobody's there, I'm still having a party.
I wish I was that content with myself.
Yeah, that's
fantastic. So I wanted to talk about the topic that I've chosen for this this episode is, let's talk about writing your own life story. And it's kind of along the lines of your book that you have. When was that released, actually?
Well, we released that about 4 weeks ago. And the first day out, it hit number 3 on Amazon. And that just blew us away. And our first book hit the New York Times bestseller, The Flip Side. Yeah, you know, we're real original with names, can't you tell?
I'm seeing a theme.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. But your third story is the title of the last book, and it's done really well. It was a fun book. I loved writing it. It was a great time.
Yeah, and so you've got all of this sort of corporate stuff. You're running all these training programs on these businesses. What was the journey for writing the book? Do you sometimes like, okay, I just want to take a break now, or I mean, it's not even taking a break because that's work in itself, but like, what is that process in the midst of all of your other commitments?
Well, again, Ione, you know, being ADD, it really does pay off. I didn't take a break. I didn't take any time off. You know, we kept doing everything we're doing, but you know, you find yourself with all these exciting ideas. And so you're writing in the middle of the night and you get all wound up and turned on about whatever's running around in your head. And so you write, and then I sit in with my editor, and we tear it all up, and we've got a team that we work with. And so I write, and they tear it up and give it back, and I write more. And it's a fun process. It's a great process.
I love it. I love it. So tell us about this idea about your third story. What's the first? What's the second? What is your third story?
Yeah. So let me show you how this works. So you and I have just met, okay? And so if I said, Ione, tell me about your life, you know, where are you from? Oh, well, I'm from London, and here's where I grew up, and here's where I went to school, and here's who my parents are, and here's my background, and here's where I got my education. Here are the sports I played, or the activities I was in, or the clubs I participated. Here are the boys I dated, and, you know, that's your story, except for one thing. You didn't write that story. You didn't write any of that story. You may have made a few choices, but you were born into your family. You were born into a town. You were born into an area. You went to a school. You didn't author that story. It's a very real part of your life. And for many, many people, Ione, honestly, it defines the rest of their life.
That is very true.
And I don't think it should. I think it should be a part of your life. You know, I don't know if you had deep trauma in your life or whatever, but I see people that that first part of their life victimizes and then they live as a victim the rest of their life.
Yeah. When that trauma that had happened ended 10, 20, 30 years ago, that they allow it to control them. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. So then, you know, that's the first story. But keep in mind, you didn't write this story. So that's
you're right. Because like where you were born, you didn't write that. Where you were sent to school, you typically didn't write that. Yeah.
No, you didn't. You didn't write. You didn't pick your parents. You didn't pick your school. I mean, you barely picked your clothes, you know. So that's your first story. Well, that second story is interesting because it usually starts in adolescence. And that's when we start telling ourselves things. Okay. You know, and now just stop and think for a second. What are the things that you told yourself?
Oh, mine were terrible. I had dealt with a lot of depression. So it was a lot of feelings of unworthiness and self-hatred and just very negative, horrible things about myself. And yeah, so not very pleasant.
And why did you tell yourself those things?
Good question. I think it was just feeling very isolated, feeling alone, not knowing how to communicate how I felt, just sort of taking something that was happening and making up a story in my mind about, you know, that person treating me that way. It must be because they don't love me or I'm not good enough or whatever, versus they're just very busy and stressed and have other things going on, or well, the infinite reasons why. But I took it all to heart and very sensitive and felt it was just very sad. So yeah, the second story I made for myself was not very nice.
Yeah. Now I want you to listen to what you've said. Okay. The things that people tell themselves in that second story are filled with lies. They're filled with lies. And I sit here and look at you. We've never met. I mean, you're beautiful. You've got a beautiful face, a precious smile. You're warm, you're engaging, you're bright, you're successful, you're articulate. I mean, look at this. So something was wrong in that second story. And I only here's the tragedy of this is I see people, they never get out of their second story. Yeah. And they continue it on and they'll get into a marriage that is a horrible marriage, and they'll tell themselves, oh, it's okay. This is the best it could be. This is the best I could be. It's not that I would ever suggest you change your marriage, but I would want you to change you. I would want you to quit telling yourself stories. You get into a job and you're like, well, you know, most people aren't happy in their job. You know, I'm making a good living. You know, it's close to my house. I don't have a long commute. And I listen to these stories and I'm like, why would you tell yourself that? We tell ourselves these things because we want to believe them, even when they're painful, because it gives explanation. You know, the girl who wasn't sweet to you or whatever, you tell yourself a story. It gives an explanation to why that happened. And part of us wants it to be us, because if it's us, maybe we could do something about it. And it's not just people. It's businesses, too. I mean, we just had a huge company in this country go broke. Toys R Us.
Oh, yeah.
Explain to me how Toys R Us can have a toy store that you go in, but you can't play with any toys. I mean, literally, you could not play with the toys. And I'm looking at this and they tell themselves a story. Well, we're going broke because of Amazon. We're going broke because retail's not working. We're going broke because everything we do has a story. The sad thing is most of them aren't true.
Yeah. Wow.
What are you thinking? Tell me what you're thinking. Come on.
I'm just thinking, yeah, it's, I just interviewed a beautiful woman called Gordana just right before this one. And she has this thing on her fridge that she says, negative thought equals not true equals, revise. And so it's pretty much like what you're saying too with these stories that we tell ourselves, like these negative stories, these negative thoughts we have, pretty much most of the time, they're not true. They're not alignment. They're not aligning with our truth if they're having that negative impact. And we have to change those stories. So then I'm guessing that the third story is the one that sort of that awakening, that awareness, the one that where we make those decisions. And I'm excited to share with you, I decided a couple of days ago just to go to Hawaii for a month to film a pilot for a travel show that I have an idea for. So I feel like I'm writing my story, and I have been writing my story for a good few years, I think. So I'm curious to see what your definition is of that.
Well, I think you are. But I want to tell you, Alani, it doesn't matter, you know, what we're writing, there's always more. And that's what you're looking for. You're going to Hawaii. You're thinking of these things because you have an idea. But that idea that you could have is so, so much bigger. So the very first thing I start looking at is that, and let me tell you a personal one that really just got me. I mean, it was terrible good. So when I was finishing up my doctoral work, I got invited to Harvard to go and finish my PhD there. And, you know, that's seriously cool. And I mean, don't you think that's cool?
Very cool. Go you.
And obviously, I'm cool too, right?
You are super cool, actually. I'm impressed with the way you dress, what you do. I'll give you the cool seal of approval.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That is so sweet for you to say that. But here's what happened. I didn't go to Harvard. And I had a reason, just like you have reasons, like we all have. And I told myself a story. And the story I told myself to not go to Harvard made it okay for me to stay at the university that I was at. Yeah. And so I tell myself that story. I believe that story. Once it sounds good to me, I take it for a walk with some friends.
Tell them the story.
Yeah, come on, you know. And I would have said, Ione, this is why I'm not going. And you would have said, oh, Flip, I like you. And yes, I agree. You know, and then one day when I was like 27, 28 years old, a buddy of mine said that I had not seen in many years. He said, how was your time at Harvard? And I was like, well, I didn't go. I stayed at A&M and this is what I did. And he said, what? What do you mean you didn't go? And I said, oh, well, you know, there were a lot of reasons to not go. Really? What were the reasons? So I'm visiting with my friend and I tell him the reasons why I didn't go to Harvard. And Ione literally looks at me and he said, you're an idiot. You're an absolute idiot. And I was like, no, really. And what I'm saying is, let me do a better job at explaining my reasons, you know. And he literally just said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
What were your reasons?
And, oh, I'm embarrassed. I'd never been out of the state. I was getting paid the same here that I'd get paid at Harvard. Everybody knows a doctorate from Texas A&M is just as good as a doctorate from Harvard. You know, I don't have any clothes for up there. It's cold up there. I live in Texas. You know, my family doesn't want me to move that far away. I didn't talk to my family. All of it was lies.
Yeah.
All of it was lies. Do you know why I didn't go to Harvard? Because I got out of high school fourth from the bottom of my class. And academics had always been horrible for me. And I get into graduate school on a mistake, literally. And now I'm doing extraordinarily well. I'm one of the top students. Why would I go to Harvard and take a chance on people finding out that I am really a fraud, that I am really pretty stupid? But I'm not going to tell somebody, well, you see, I don't think I'm smart enough. You don't say that.
No.
You know, you make an excuse. You come up with a reason. And so my friend, he was very blunt. And I went away and wrote in my journal, I'll never forget it. I wrote in my journal, never again will I lie to myself and let my fears dictate my decisions. Mm-hmm. And so I don't. I still do, probably. We all do to some extent, but I want it challenged. I challenge it. I want other people. I want truth tellers in my life. I need truth tellers.
Yeah. I love that. And so that was the moment that you started. When did you start sort of writing the story of your life? All these ideas? Because what I love about you is you savvy businessman, you've got all these things going on, but there's this beautiful kind of personal development, awareness, like there's I like that quality. Where did that filter in all of your being a business person?
You know, Ione, something you don't know about us, Susan and I have raised 20 children.
What?
Yeah, we've raised 20 children. I have a son from Ghana. I've got Russian kids. I've got Hispanic kids. I mean, we even went and got some white kids for diversity.
That was nice of you. They're adopted. Is that it? They're adopted or fostered?
No. They're not fostered. No, we don't have foster kids. These are our children. We have two biological, and then we have these other children. They're our children. Many of them are adopted. Many of them we don't have papers on, but they're our children. They all know that, and they're our children. You know, we've raised them. They're ours. And so when you ask this question, you know, the thing that I think about is that, you know, I love people. I really do. And I look at them and I always think, you know, there's so much more. There's so much more. What if you just reached down and thought, I wonder what I could do? And so I see people, I mean, a lot of our kids have been very, very broken as children. And our deal is always, son, if you want it, now catch this, Ione. I mean, here's the thing is that, you know, when so many of our children, they've come out of really difficult situations. And my deal is you can drag that around with you the rest of your life, but all it's going to do is burden you down. That's an anchor. That should be a rocket fuel for you to become something amazing. So our deal is if you want to reclaim it, if you want to reclaim it, you reframe it. If you want to reclaim it, you reframe it. Whatever's happened to you, there is a good side to that. I mean, you know, I have a learning disability. Oh my gosh, I learned how to work really, really, really hard because I'm not that smart. That's okay with me. You know, I grew up in a pretty abusive home. The first time I got beat unconscious, I was 8. I don't wish that on anybody, Ione, but the reality is I cherish the fact that that happened in my life because I look at what that's done for us. I mean, I have a deep love for children, and it's like, no, come on. You'll be safe here. It's okay. You'll be good. It'll be all right. We can do some amazing things here. I mean, it doesn't matter what's happened in your life. You really have the opportunity to rewrite that life. And so, you know, to your point, the first thing I start doing, I look at the things. Find someplace in your life where you just flat lied to yourself. You just flat lied. Go ahead.
Oh, that I'm like worthless, unlovable, that I'm a terrible actress. That I hate myself. I was sort of in like the really darkest parts of it. Yeah, it was there, that there's no point in me being here. I mean, and it's so funny because like I know without a shadow of a doubt how absolute BS that is now.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the time I listened to it.
And you know, now I only catch this. I could stand here, and I'm really good at what I do, okay? And I could say, oh, Ione, here is my opinion. I think you're beautiful and smart and talented and gifted, and I can tell you all of that. And honestly, it sounds nice. It will not make one bit of difference to you internally. Not one bit. And then you go away and literally you will think to yourself, oh my God, I really am screwed up. Other people think this, what is wrong with it? It actually makes it even worse. But if I stopped and just said, Ione, honestly, sweetheart, you tell me the truth. Mm-hmm. Tell me the truth right now. Are you talented?
Yes.
Yeah.
So talk about that. Take 15 seconds and tell me. Where are your gifts? Tell me your gifts.
I'm very funny. As an actress, I'm very creative. I make things happen. I'm a good friend. I uplift people. And I've built a really beautiful life for myself.
Are those things true?
Yeah, that's nice.
And you know what's nice is nobody can take that away from you.
Yeah.
Nobody can take that away from you. So your gifts, your talents, your heart, your love, your experiences, your past, all of these things are these beautiful things that are contributing to make you who you are right now. And my contention is that if we just stopped and said, so I wonder what I could really, really do. And I can promise you, doesn't matter what it is you dream up, there's more. There is more. So to me, it's a pretty cool deal. That's your third story. How do you write that? And then we've got a bunch of stuff in the book about it.
Great. And where can people get your book?
Oh, you can look up at Flip Flippin' on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, et cetera. You get the book at yourthirdstorybook.com. It's on Amazon. It's easy to get. It's an easy read. We wrote this one so that it's a good airplane read. You'll enjoy it. You need to read it going to Hawaii.
Thank you. I think I will. And is there a lot of kind of like questions that get you writing and stuff? Okay.
Oh, excellent. Yeah,
I do think it's a fantastic book for this trip and just, you know, thinking bigger and out there. This has been fun. I love to ask guests at the end of the interview if there is a call to action, something that people can do now. One of them is get the book, so we'll make that a standard given. but what is like a call to action or something that you would like the listeners or watchers of this podcast to do?
Yeah. You know, one of the very first things to do that's so simple is just stop and think, what's a lie that I'm telling myself right now that's keeping my life small? What is a story I'm telling myself right now? Because all you've got to do is find one. When you find one, and then you stop and say, why do I tell myself that? I wonder what the truth really is. And when you begin to create a chink in that story, now you've opened up a whole world that you've probably never even dreamed of. And I'm getting to live a lot of that. You obviously are getting to live a lot of that, but there's so much to be done. So to me, that's what's so exciting about it.
I love it. Thank you so much. This was really fun. The time has flown by. You're really fantastic to talk to. So thank you. And thank you for offering to give away a copy of your third story. So really appreciate that kind giveaway. But what I say with these giveaways is always to everyone, buy the book, enter to win it, but also buy it. And then if you win it, you can give it away to somebody that you think might benefit from it. So I think that's a good way around. Flip, what's something that's exciting for you coming up?
Well, I just got back from Fiji. It was a difficult trip.
Such a horrible place. It sounds awful.
Well, I got to give the keynote at the International Olympic Congress, and that was a lot of fun. And, you know, there's a lot of travel and a lot of things going on. But I tell you, probably the coolest thing in my life right now is all my grandkids, 26 of them, piling up on top of me and just loving me.
Wow. So, how do you find, what are your ways that you balance this, very full life, work life and personal life? How do you find that balance?
Well, you know, I think it's a matter of setting some priorities and just kind of protecting that, You know, my wife, Susan, I mean, I cherish time with her. We have a really good time together. She's the CEO of our companies, so we get to work together also, and we've been doing that for a long time now. And then I just guard that time. You know, I want time with our children and our grandchildren and then with our team. That's the main thing, and I just love it, you know.
Well, thank you for giving me and us some of your precious time. It's been lovely speaking to you, and we'll have links to the website and the book and things like that in the show notes for people to learn more about you and get the book. So,
Naomi, you're a joy.
Thank you. I feel the same way about you. And we're for anyone that's listening, we're wearing lovely matching blue numbers today with our white background. So we didn't even get the memo, but we're just so in tune with each other.
It worked.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Flip. And everyone, take care. You will hear from me next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Uplifting Content Podcast with me, Ione Butler. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe on iTunes and leave us a review so that more people can find it. And to make sure you never miss a beat, subscribe to our weekly dose of uplifting content, which is an email from me about the best of uplifting content from that week, be it giveaways, videos, interviews, all the good stuff. And as a bonus, when you subscribe, you get access to the Uplifting Content Summit for free. The Uplifting Content Summit was an interview series with some fantastic guests, including Jay Shetty, Christine Hassler, Alexi Panos, Preston Smiles, Kyle Cease, Peter Kelly, Jenna Phillips Ballard, and many more about how to stay uplifted. So if you'd like some tips and advice from some of the best thought leaders, authors, coaches out there, be sure to subscribe to my email update and get access to this summit for free. The link to sign up is in the show notes. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, take care. Bye.